Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. So he's saying, really, a wise man's heart, in the way he conducts himself or she conducts herself, it's really on his right side. He has a wise action, or she is acting wisely. They are being guided in a right way. They are acting in a right way because the wise man's heart is at his right. And as thinking about that, I was thinking about the many verses that the Bible teaches us about the right hand. You remember what David, the father of King Shlomo, said prophetically about the Messiah? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Shev leimini, sit at my right hand side, God said to Yeshua, the Messiah, when he raised him from among the dead and placed him at the pinnacle of the universe, he set him at his right hand. Because the right side, the right hand represents authority, it represents power, it represents the place that belongs to the one that has a place of honor and of glory. And therefore, the wise man, he is the one that his heart is at his right side and not at the left side, because at the right hand is a place of honor and of glory. Could you turn to Mark chapter 16? This is in the Brit HaChadasha, in the New Testament. Just this one verse, verse 19. And I'm going to read that verse. So then after the Lord, this is Yeshua, had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and listen to that, and he sat on the right hand of God. Why? Because the right hand is a place of honor, is a place of authority, is a place of power. So the wise man's heart is at his right hand, and the fool's heart is at his left. Why? Because he does not listen to the counsel of the Lord. He does not take the advice that God is giving to him. So Shlomo, presenting before our people of all, the people of Israel, the sad result that folly produces. The folly, verse 1, harms one's reputation. Folly, verse 2, guide one to act in the wrong way. And then verse 3, folly betrays itself to others. Notice that, you know, folly actually, really, eventually, a person who is acting foolishly, he really betrays himself to others that he is really not wise in his action. It says in verse 3, yea, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. And again, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest that King Shlomo may very well refer to himself when he speaks here these proverbs to the people of Israel. You see, when a fool that walketh on his way, his wisdom faileth. That expression, his wisdom faileth, suggested that he had wisdom, but it failed him because he did not submit to God. And by acting foolishly and going in a foolish direction, what happened? The wisdom that one had. You notice he said, his wisdom faileth him. It doesn't help him anymore because he does not submit to the Lord. And then what happened? He's saying by his action to everyone else, this is a foolish way. You know, sometime in our decision-making, and the young one can learn from that, the old one can learn from that, in our decision-making, in our path here in this world, we actually betray ourselves when we are going in a wrong direction. And other person can tell us, even though we don't listen at the time, this is a foolish decision. You should have not gone in this direction. I told you this before, but you didn't listen. That's the way sometimes we speak for ourselves, of course. His wisdom faileth him, and he's actually saying to everyone that he is a fool. He is not wise. And so in verses 1, in verse 2, and verse 3, Shlomo presenting before the people of Israel, he presents before you and I the sad results that folly produce in our lives. And that seemed to demand from us to be stirred in making a wise decisions in our life. So now from verse 4, all the way to the end of the chapter, to verse 20, Solomon presents before Israel how godly wisdom is eventually a really profitable and helpful in life. Now I remember listening to this message by another brother that spoke about it, about the whole book of Ecclesiastes, and he says, listen, the book of Ecclesiastes only shows us that in the world in which we live in, there will be always problems. Don't think for a moment that because you and I became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, that we are going to be, you might say, relieved from the problem that existing here in this world. A believer in the Lord Yeshua, just like the people of Israel of old, a believer in God is not exempt from problems that exist here in this world. But how do we live our life in spite of this problem? In spite of the opposition, in spite of the sin that existing here in this world, how does a believer in the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, live in this world? Does he or she live in victory, or are they defeated by allowing the world to take over the way in which they live? So Solomon in verses 4 to 20 now present before Israel how godly wisdom preserves one from a lot of problems, keeps one somehow bringing glory to God in the midst of all the problem in this world. Well, he began with verse 4. And with verse 4, when the spirit of a ruler rise up against you, don't run away, stand still and allow things to happen, trusting in the Lord, because he said, vengeance is mine, I am the one that eventually going to deal with it. I will recompense. Notice in verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler, that comes from the Hebrew word moshel, or the governor, if the spirit of the governor, the ruler, rise up against thee, against you, it says in verse 4b, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. A time we might come to a point in our life that some leadership will attack, and leadership eventually, the ruler rise up against us. What do we do? How to handle the situation? Do we run up and go, or do we oppose and fight back? Shlomo is saying no. He says, no, he says, yielding pacifies great offenses. In other words, you are able with the Lord's help to yield, to allow this to happen, yield to the Lord, and eventually you'll be able to rise up and to continue on. Because it's not worthwhile to fight back. Remember what the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He says, you trust in me, don't fight everything, I will eventually will help you. You think of the Lord Jesus of Yeshua the Messiah, when he reviled not again. When he was threatened, he threatened not, but committed himself to God to do righteously. How the Lord Yeshua became an example for us. He submitted himself to the authority of God, and he allowed God ultimately to lead him into victory. And this is what Shlomo is saying. A godly wisdom will be submissive to the authority that we are under. He continues in verse 5 and 6 and 7. And you notice what Shlomo have observed. And he shared it with Israel in verse 5, 6, and 7. He's observing and he says, listen, I've seen that evil is existing here under the sun. There will always be wrong and evil here in this world under the sun. And so he's saying, there is an evil which I've seen under the sun. As an error which proceedeth from the ruler, folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen, he says in verse 7, servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He says things are messed up here in this world. There is so much disorder. I have seen under the sun that there is evil. There is evil, beloved brothers and sisters. Since Adam and Eve fell into sin in Genesis chapter 3, since that time on, no one can fix the problem here in this world. This world, and King Shlomo have observed, he says, listen, under the sun, tachat ha-shemesh, here on earth, not in heaven, but here on earth, under the sun, I have seen it, ra'iti, I've observed, I've experienced this in my life. There is evil here in this world. Folly set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. Verse 6 is very interesting. It is amazing how the world reversed the way things should be. They put the rulers to lead the world, people that are making foolish decisions. And everybody else is suffering because of their decision making. And he says the rich sit in a low place. He doesn't mean rich in merely financial richness, but the rich, those who are capable to produce something good for the nation or for a country or for a family, they are sitting in a low place. Don't you find out that sometimes the people who lead a country or perhaps lead a company are people who shouldn't be there in leadership because they do not make a right decision? And the people who should be leading, who have an ability to produce, they are underneath them, getting instruction from the decision makers in a certain company or a certain nation by people who are making wrong decisions. And we live in these days when there are some of the leaders here in this world which we live under making a decision and leading the whole country astray or the whole city astray instead of having a godly, wise person who take leadership and pulling things in the right direction that will be beneficial for the whole nation. Amazing what Shlomo is saying. I have seen under the sun, he says, folly is set in great dignity. But, he says, those that are rich in ability, they are sitting in a low place. They are not recognized. In verse 7 again, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. What does he mean here? You see, people who are not have the capability to lead, they sit on horses. They ride, and they seem to be the one who making the decision. But on the other hand, I see the people who are princes, who should lead, who should take the direction of a country or for a nation, they are walking like servants living here on earth. They are not being used. They are not being recognized. They are not being promoted. You know, it reminds me for a moment, if you turn with me to the book of Esther, to chapter 3. You remember what happened in the history of our nation, Israel, when our people of old, Israel, were in Babylon and then Persia. And you remember what we read there in the book of Esther in chapter 3, how the wrong men have been promoted. Esther chapter 3 and verse 1, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, and he advanced him, and he set him above all the princes that were with him. Here's a man that was promoted, who was an evil man, who brought so much evil upon the Jewish people in his days. But he was promoted. and a man like Mordechai, HaYehudi, the Jew, who should have been there in promotion and been a blessing to the whole kingdom, he was rejected at first. But later on, God had placed him in this place of honor, and he was a blessing to the whole kingdom. So, verses 5 and 6 and 7, Solomon has seen the evil that is existing, the wrong action that is existing here in this world. The one who should be promoted is the one who is become like a servant, like a no one. The one that should be serving and listening, get the counsel from the wise one, they are the one who are being promoted. Things are in disorder in a world in which we live in. I'm just thinking for a moment, just coming from Japan, I'm thinking about North Korea's leader, who is a young man who is leading the nation into developing certain bombs that will destroy multitude of people. And he's the leader. He's the decision maker. And no one can say a word, because if he or she will say a word, their lives is at stake. But you see, beloved brothers and sisters, that's what Shlomo is saying. I have seen under the sun the evil that is existing, the wrong that is existing. I've seen the people who are servants being promoted, and the people who should be promoted are demoted. Things are in disorder. That's what Shlomo is presenting before Israel. And I want to read one more verse in the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. And in chapter 19 again, Shlomo is the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. He's the one that wrote Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. He says in chapter 19 and verse 10, "Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for servant to have rule over princes." It's just not right. Things are in disorder here in the world in which we live in. He continued, beloved brothers and sisters, King Shlomo, to give us proverb after proverb after proverb to illustrate spiritual lessons. In verse 8, 9, 10 and 11, Solomon shows that those who practice folly will actually eventually not only harm others, but eventually they will harm themselves. I'm reading verse 8. "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." And I think there is a good spiritual lesson that we can learn from that. What does that mean, to dig a pit? To dig a pit means to prepare or to organize or to plan a fall for someone else. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to plan and to imagine to dig a pit in order that the person will pass by and he or she will fall into that pit. It shows us the evil or foolishness that one can do in his or her life. So he says, listen, be careful, Israel. You want to dig a pit for somebody else? Well, you watch it. Because you are bound to fall into the very same pit that you are preparing for somebody else. He's speaking also immediately in this same verse, the one that break a hedge, a serpent will bite him. You know, breaking a wall, a hedge, you never know what is inside that wall. Why are you breaking a wall? You're breaking a wall, you're breaking a hedge in order to enter in, to get your own way, to get your own direction, your own will in that. Well, watch it, because eventually it will bite you. Now, notice he used the word that serpent shall bite him. You never know what is creeping in the hedge, that when you try to break it to force your own way, you will see it may harm you, and eventually you are going to be bit by the very same thing that you seek to do against others. So don't dig pit for someone else. because you may fall into that pit. Don't force yourself in such a way that you eventually want to break hedges, because you eventually might receive the biting from a serpent that will harm you as well. He continued, and in verse 9, he said, he that remove a stone or split wood for evil purpose, he eventually can harm himself. Whosoever removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that claveth wood shall be in danger thereby. In other words, if you do something for a wrong reason, be careful that it will catch you. It will ultimately harm you. The verse that comes to my mind as I'm thinking about that is what the Lord said in the book of Numbers to our people of Israel: be sure your sin shall find you out. Or he says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what he's really saying here. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you, especially when you wish to do evil to someone else. In verse 10, he continued and he said, if the iron is blunt or dull, and he do not whet, or the edge is not sharpened, then must he put more strength, more force in order to accomplish his own way. But then he says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. It's like trying to do, to break something or to cut something with a dull axe, or trying to, with an unsharp edge of an axe, to try to break something. That's what really happened when a person tried to force himself. But wisdom, notice verse 10, wisdom is eventually profitable to direct one in his or her path. In verse 11, he says, surely the serpent will bite. The foolish, evil ruler will eventually seek to do to you harm. And I'm reading verse 11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. In other words, the ruler here, or the serpent here, represent the leader or the ruler of a country. Just like we have read from the beginning of this chapter, that a person who is ruling without wisdom, without allowing God to control, he is the one that eventually will seek to harm those that seek the will of the Lord. So, verses 4 to 11, wisdom is submissive to authority. And because of submissiveness to authority, one will not allow himself to be harmed by going in a wrong direction. Well, he continued, and I'm going to follow through here in this chapter, verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. A wise man knows how to control his very own tongue. You know, the tongue is the smallest member of our body. And with this same tongue, we bless God and curse others. The tongue is often that which betrays us. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, the tongue is speaking. And here we have also to be extremely careful with how do we use our mouth and our tongue. Do we use it for edifying others? Do we use it for building up? Do we use it to praise God and to bless the people of God? Or do we use it in order to dishonor the Lord? And so notice that, verse 12, the words of the wise men are gracious. Verse 12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Reading this verse remind me immediately of Yeshua the Messiah. You remember when he was here on earth, what the Gospels present us about him, how he spoke word in due season. And everyone that heard him were marveled at the words that he spoke. Gracious words came out of his mouth. He spoke words that edified, that blessed those that were around him. And so he's saying, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The words that are of unkind words, foolish words will eventually not benefit the fool, but a wise man take out of his mouth words that are gracious, that someone can hear him and be edified by the words that come out of his mouth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, please, dear brothers and sisters, just to read about Yeshua, our Messiah, how he spoke graciously. We read in verses 21 and verse 22, it says there that he began to say unto them, this is Jesus, this is Yeshua the Messiah, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. When he read in the synagogue in Beit HaKnesset, there in Nazareth, in Nazareth, and people sat and listened to what he said, and he read the passage from Isaiah, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He says, to preach deliverance unto the captive, and recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In verses 18 and 19, he's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 61 that speak about himself, the Messiah. And as the people in the synagogue were listening to his reading, he says, this day, verse 21, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And then everyone who sat in the synagogue said, and all that heard him witness, and they wondered at the gracious words which had been proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Ben Yosef, Joseph's son?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.